I was a very obedient kid, so I just took the punishment.
Definitely not wits, because I didn't have much. Probably my fist, I would try to kind of, not physically fight, but I would argue and just cause a ruckus to justify my sins.
Probably my wit, although my parents probably saw right through it.
So actually, whenever I got in trouble, my parents would always, she would tell me to give me my hand, and then she would like slap it really hard with her, and then she said, "See this, it hurts me more than it hurts you." And so I felt really bad, and so I tried to avoid letting her hit me, so I would just run away and hope that she'd forget what I'd done, which actually worked, surprisingly.
Okay, if you just take a turn to the neighbor next to you, how did you get out of trouble as a child with your parents? Did you use your fists or your feet, meaning you run away, or you use your wits? You thought your way out of it. So go ahead and just share. So, did you use your fists, or did you use your feet, or did you use your wits? Well, I have to say, growing up, I used my wits. And I can think of one incident in particular. What it was, okay, so there's a lot of rules, okay? There's just always too many rules when it comes to a Chinese household. And so here we are. One of the rules was, okay, if you're going to do any sports, okay, no balls in the house. It has to be outside, okay? Football, basketball, baseball, you do not play in the house. You play outside the house, okay? And so this one day, I got invited by my friend. We're going to go out to the driving range. And so I pull out my golf clubs, and I'm in the house, and I'm taking a swing, and then all of a sudden I stop, and I go, oh, no sports in the house. But then she goes, well, Mom meant balls. I'm not really using any ball. I'm just using a club, okay? So what I did, so I'm practicing my swing. And you know how, like, whenever you do these things, parents have rules for these things because you know that there's potentially something that will go wrong, right? But you know, when you're growing up, you think, that may apply to you, but it doesn't apply to me, okay? And then you say, like, that's no problem. I'm not going to have any problems. What problem is it? I'm not using a golf ball. I'm just taking swings, right? So I take this 5-iron, and I just take this big old swing. And what happens at this point in time is, like, I actually ripped a big hole in the ceiling, okay? And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm really in trouble now, okay? And so then I say, okay, calm down. Let's think this through. So I got, okay, number one, okay, Elmer's glue. Okay, Elmer's glue is useful. So I immediately go up there, and I glue the whole, like, little sheet back into place and put it back up there. I go, like, oh, that looks good. But then a couple hours later, when I went back, you know, Elmer's glue doesn't stay white. It actually turns clear, right? And I go, like, man, that looks terrible. And I was like, what can I do? I couldn't figure out what to do. And finally, I went to go through the drawers, and I go, oh, white out. And so I take some white out, and I got to put it up there and things like that. And so, like, that whole evening for dinner, I'm just, like, sitting there, like, is anybody going to look up? Is anybody going to see it? And they didn't. And actually, they never did, okay? In fact, like, about 20 years later when they sold the house, nobody ever said anything. So, and I don't know about you, when you do things like that and you kind of get away with it, what is the lesson you learn? I should do this again. If I'm ever in trouble, I'm going to use my wits, right? Or whatever, or I'm going to use my feet. I'm going to use, use my fist or whatever, things like that. But I tell you, we're going to go through, you've been going through Genesis, and today I'm going to do some about Jacob today. The thing about Jacob is this. He is a guy who, if you read in Genesis, he's a guy who has used his wits. He cheated his brother Esau out of his birthright. He tricked his father, Isaac, to get Esau's blessing. We also see him getting out of trouble with his feet, too, right? What does he do? He runs away from Esau when Esau threatens to kill him, okay? And he gets out of trouble with his feet by escaping from his father-in-law, Laban, in the middle of the night. His whole family, his two wives, all the kids, they escape in the middle of the night. And so today, as Jacob has used his wits and Jacob has used his feet, Jacob, today, what we're going to do is a story in Genesis chapter 32. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and start turning over there. Genesis chapter 32, we see that Jacob has turned to his fists because now he's wrestling with God. If you don't have your Bibles with you, I have the slide, so make sure this works. There it goes. Genesis 32, starting at verse 22. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them there and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God," or actually some of your versions may say, "have wrestled with God and with men, and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose up upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. Key passage here I want you to kind of pay attention to. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Jacob was left alone because he sent away his family. You see, he's being hunted down, brother Esau. And now a man comes to wrestle him. The man here, we can go into a lot of explanation about who this is, but I'm just going to tell you straight up, this is God. This is God. God is wrestling with Jacob. And when you read this passage, your first response is, "Really, God? Is this really necessary right here, right now? I have so much to take care of. My brother's actually out to kill me. My family's sent out to meet them." And sometimes in our lives, don't we just feel like, as if we already have enough problems as it is with friends or families or schoolwork or in the workplace. And then it just seems like God dogpiles us. He actually just comes and just kind of throws something else into the mix. His life isn't difficult enough already. God joins in. Have you ever had a moment like that? I'll tell you, the worst week of my life, okay, the absolute worst week of my life was when my first son was born. Now, that doesn't sound very good, does it? Oh, we were very happy that he was born, but that week was bad. Okay, just let me be straight about that. Okay, just be clear. I love my sons, okay? That week was bad. First week, parents were all really tired. really exhausting to take care of a baby. But then, in the midst of this tiredness, I went into the church office. We had our staff meeting that week. And first thing, even before we even pray, the senior pastor says, he actually points his finger at me. You know it's bad when somebody points their finger at you, right? He says, you've been stealing money from the church. Exactly. I'm going, what? I had no idea what he was talking about. Had no idea. I couldn't even have a guilty face because I wasn't guilty of anything, right? And so it's kind of like, it's bad. So we got into this thing. I mean, we were like right here with each other, arguing with each other. And then in the end, it turned out just in that staff meeting, it's like, you didn't even check what it was. This, I don't know where you got your data from. You didn't even come ask me first. You just stand and accuse me in front of everybody. So I just said, forget it. I'm tired and sick of this. I quit. So I go home. Here I am with this. I hold on to my son, Stuart. And I'm going like, I'm just out of a job. This is a really terrible week. But the only thing that kind of kept everything in was just holding on to this baby, right? Next day, next morning, I'm doing my devotions. Just kind of sitting there, just kind of calming down after the what I thought was the end of the storm. But my wife, Carolyn, comes from the bedroom, and she comes up, and her nightgown is all bloody. It's just dripping with blood. And I'm just thinking, I don't even know what to do. So we do something with the baby. We get her to the emergency. Praise God, they were able to figure out what was wrong. They didn't sew up everything correctly. And so they were able to take care of her, and she's fine. But I tell you, that was the worst week of my life. Not only was I tired, I was tired, I was out of a job. And here, in this situation, it was like as if, like, I was worried. My wife, the person who I've given my life to, she's given her life to me. She could die. And that moment, I really did turn to God and said, really, God, did you have to pile it on? And I tell you, there are times in our lives, because I think God does need to pile it on. It's because of the fact we've gotten a little cocky, because we think that when we can solve our own problems, either with our wits or with our feet or maybe with our fists, that we'll battle through it. We'll be able to take care of it. And we find that we live our lives totally separated from the God who loves us. And this is where we find Jacob. This is what's going on here. God, why does he wrestle with us in the time that we need to just have calm and peace? Well, God wrestles with us for this very reason. First of all, he wants to strengthen our faith. Those are my two sons. As Pastor Chief said, they are now both seniors, senior in high school and a senior in college. They're really big. They're both over 200 pounds. I'm just small. I don't know where they may not be my children now that I think of it. But this is back when they were small. And back in the day, they would always want to wrestle me, okay? They would always want to wrestle me. You can't help it. See, once they change the TV channel and they find WWF, there's just no way that little boys won't at that point in time just want to wrestle, okay, and things like that. So I didn't want to do that. That's too rough. But I would arm wrestle with them. But you know, when you're arm wrestling with them, you know, I'm just so much stronger than they are at that age, right? But you kind of want to make it so that they don't want to, I don't want to like, okay, we're going to really wrestle. I'm going to win. you're dead meat. And then I'm just going to knock them out. Right? You don't. Parents don't do this with their kids, okay? What you do is this, okay? Because you do stuff like this because you go like, oh, you're so strong. You're really strong. Oh, you're going to get me. Oh, you're going to beat me this time. Because, oh, my God. And he goes, and you make what would last like 2 seconds last like for 3 or 4 minutes, right? And you do this right before bed. They get tired. They go to sleep, right? This is what we do. And so here we are. We're doing this. And part of the reason why we do this is because I know that when we're playing together, father and son playing together, I am actually strengthening them, right? I'm strengthening them in two ways. I'm strengthening them. Their arms are getting stronger, you know, when we do this kind of thing. But they are also, our relationship is also getting stronger too, isn't it? Our relationship is getting stronger. We're having fun together. We're playing together. When God wrestles with us, I don't think he wants to beat us. I think he wants to strengthen us. He wanted to strengthen Jacob here. He wants Jacob first and foremost to know he has the power. He absolutely has the power. And this is a lesson that he's trying to teach Jacob. And he wants Jacob to start getting stronger in his faith and his dependency upon God. But honestly, if you've read through Genesis and you've read the story of Jacob, we know that at this point in time, Jacob is just giving lip service. In the beginning of this chapter, it's just so evident that God is present. You may want to turn there just at the beginning of the chapter 32, verse 1. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Jacob knows that God is there. Jacob acknowledges God. Okay, he knows God and knows God wants to be in his life. But that is all he does. When you meet God's messengers, you bow down. You ask what you can do for God. But Jacob just acknowledges him with hollow words and just proceeds with his own elaborate plans on how he's going to be able to deceive his brother, be able to escape and run away from his brother. And so that is why, after this incident, after God sends his messengers to hear what Jacob's heart is, God takes action. He wrestles with Jacob. We just can't say that we're God's people and just do our own thing. That's just lip service. Just talk, no action. You and I must also act in response to him. Now, why does Jacob wrestle with God? I mean, why does God wrestle with Jacob? Jacob has lost sight of the big picture. He's really lost sight of why God is in his life. God wanted to bless Jacob and through his descendants bless the world. Okay, that's actually what Genesis is all about. How God takes one person. He takes Abraham, and from that he has offspring. And from the offspring, they develop into a tribe. They develop into a nation. And this nation are going to be the people that will reach out and make everyone know Yahweh is Lord. But here, this is the early stage. This is the early stage. God wants to bless Jacob because he wants Jacob to know that his descendants are going to be the ones to bless the world. But what does Jacob do with his family? What does he do with his family here? He sends them out to Esau, who all we know at this point in time is Esau intends to kill Jacob, intends to kill all his family. What was Jacob thinking? You know, Jacob sends his wife and his children out to Esau. Esau has 400 men, and they're going to destroy them. And so, in that sense, what Jacob does is stupid on two accounts. Number one, this at the very least is bad parenting. Okay? It's so horrible and selfish that you would remain behind and you would send your family out to meet the person who's intending to kill you and everything you love. That's nuts. Okay, that is absolutely nuts. But the greater problem is this. If Esau slaughters Jacob's family, or even if Esau takes Jacob's family as his own, makes them his slaves, then God's plan, God's intended plan to bless the whole world would be perverted. That lineage that goes from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to the 12 sons leads all the way, this is God's plan, leads all the way to Christ Jesus. Leads all the way to Jesus who saves each and every one of you by his death on the cross. And if Jacob lets Esau take his whole family, we'll have to scroll back everything that we know. Scroll back everything that we know about salvation. Scroll back about Christ. And God's plan is perverted. I think at this point in time, we may need to stop and wonder, why do we wrestle? Why do we wrestle with God? Why do we wrestle with God? I think sometimes we're just a people because we just refuse to move. We just kind of like where we are. In the picture there, you see that those are my two dogs. The little brown one, his name is Nico. Nico is an outdoor dog, okay? We found Nico. He was, like, roaming around Lake Conroe, okay? He is okay outdoors, okay? He has no problems. I open the door. He just goes outside. He loves it. Now, Emmy, on the white dog, is a totally different situation, okay? Emmy is an indoor dog, okay? Now, it is a struggle every day to get Emmy outside, okay? And there are times... we're never going to videotape this because once it it'd be like as if I'm animal cruelty or something like that. But I would try to pull a leash on Emmy, and then she wouldn't walk. She would just lie down like that. And at that point in time, I have to I'm pulling her. I'm just dragging her on our wood floors, you know, just dragging her along. And then I'll actually push her, and she'll slide maybe 2 or 3 feet. And just all these kinds of things, because she just refuses to go outside. And and I think for whatever reason, she's just comfortable where she is, okay? She doesn't want to do things. And that may be you and I, too. I don't know how many times that you've been challenged to go on the mission field. You're going to have a missions conference that's coming up soon, okay? I want to prepare your heart for it right now. You are going to be challenged to go. Okay? But, see, Pastor Wei doesn't have a leash for you. Okay? He's not going to drag you there. Okay? And that's a struggle that we have. Okay? Sometimes we refuse to move even when God calls us to. Partially because we refuse spiritual challenges. We think that spiritual challenge, going on the mission field or going to reach somebody for Christ, sharing the gospel with somebody or teaching a Sunday school class, that it's actually beyond our capabilities. But maybe that's one of the things that you and I need to learn. I'm not going to say that it's not beyond your capabilities. I'm going to say, yes, you're right. If you take on anything that God calls you to, it is going to be beyond your capabilities. But it is not beyond God's capabilities. It's your chance. When God seems like he's wrestling with us, he's dragging us, it's because he wants you to experience his power and his strength in an incredible way. Yes, you cannot do it. You couldn't teach that Sunday school class. You can't come up here and preach. You can't go on to the mission field. I agree. You and I can't do those things. But any one of us who decides to let God be God and allow ourselves to go, we discover God's power and authority in our lives. Yet, what are some other ways we wrestle with God? We don't keep God's commandment. In my small group that I lead, we're actually going through the book of Jonah right now. And Jonah is totally, he is the one that solves problems with his feet. He runs away. He'd rather die than do what God wants him to do. And for Jonah, he's called to preach to his enemies, the Ninevites, but he absolutely refuses to do it. He hates them. And I think that you and I, we have some very simple, basic commandments that we have, but we don't do them. Maybe it is forgiving somebody who has hurt you. Maybe it is as simple as saying you're sorry and asking for forgiveness. But in all these things, you will feel the weight. You will feel the pressure. You will feel like as if God is wrestling with you during that time. And lastly, I think the bottom line is, after all these things, we refuse to move, we refuse spiritual challenges, we don't want to keep God's commandments. It's basically we don't want to change, okay? We don't want to change. My dog just wants to lie inside the house. We like living here in Katy. It's comfortable, okay? Everything is fine here. I want to encourage you, because I think if there's anything that we learn from this story in Jacob is this. You're going to always feel that God is wrestling with you until you bow the knee and follow and submit yourselves and then rise and follow. And so, how do we stop wrestling? How do we stop wrestling with God? Well, we're wrestling with God because maybe just like Jacob, when he wrestles with God, he's been hurt. He's experienced a broken relationship. You're told that you were not supposed to date a non-Christian. And then, because you tried to do what God asked you to do, it was heartbreaking for you. There are hardships at school. While you're trying to be number one in your class, and you know that the rest of the guys who are in there, they're cheating on their papers, they're plagiarizing, but you chose not to, and you ended up being number five, instead of number one. Those are hardships, and it seems like we wrestle with God because we felt like he's hurt us, because we tried to do whatever he wanted to do. So you have scars that are just as visible as Jacob's limp. Jacob's hip injury is a sign of wrestling with God. Jacob's hip is put out of joint. This is not a dream. This is real. And when you and I wrestle with God, I know the hurt is real. But we need to stop wrestling with God by realizing that realizing like Jacob, that God actually isn't trying to hurt us. We actually need to rethink our relationship with God. God isn't wrestling with us, but maybe God is actually trying to embrace us. It's amazing how, so like I said, my boys are now like, they're all like 200 pounds each. I like messing with them. They don't like to be touched, okay? And so sometimes when they come, they wake up in the morning, say good morning to each other. Then I try to hug them. You know, I'll try to hug them. And then after I'll try to hug them, they're okay about the hugs. But then I'll try to kiss them, you know, like pretending like I kiss them. I'm not going to kiss them. I'm just pretending like I kiss them. At that point in time, it becomes like this whole thing, like it does seem like we're fighting, right? And the fact of the matter is sometimes wrestling it could be actually really embrace, okay? Imagine a situation like this. What would you do if you saw this happening? A little girl is walking down the street, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, you see a man who grabs her by the arm, carries her off like this, and while she's crying and kicking and screaming, puts her in the car, and then he drives off. What do you think was happening there? Maybe a kidnapping or something, right? That. But what if I told you this? That man was actually the little girl's father. And while she was walking around, she was actually walking into the middle of traffic. She had actually opened the car door and actually had run out. So at that point in time, when her dad was grabbing her, he's not abducting her. He was trying to rescue her, to save her. But see, that's the thing, is that wrestling and embrace sometimes looks alike. Sometimes the thing that we think God is trying to hurt us, he isn't. He's trying to rescue us. He's trying to save us. And here, with Jacob here, it is this. Jacob is always trying to be self-reliant. If he doesn't do it with his feet, he'll do it with his wits. If he's not doing it with his wits, he'll do it with his fists. He was being defiant. And one day, he's going to find that he's going to be in trouble. He won't be able to save and rescue himself. And so God is not wrestling with Jacob, but he's embracing him. He's holding on to him and saying how much he loves him and wants to protect him and protect his family. And so sometimes for you and I, when we think that God is wrestling with us, we need to stop and think, wait a minute, this is a God who loves me. This is a God who has given me everything, the best of everything. He's given me Jesus Christ. And at that point in time, it's not a God who hates us. It's not a God who wants to wrestle us and show that he's in charge. He's a God who's trying to embrace us. And here, Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. That sentence right there shows you the complete change of heart in Jacob. He finally declares that he understands God. He understands that this wrestling match was actually not God wrestling with Jacob, but Jacob was wrestling with God the whole time, whereas God was just trying to embrace him. We need to look to change. And we see changes in this passage. And there's a couple of changes in regards to names. Jacob's name change, and also God's name. Now, God's name does not change, okay? It's just that Jacob wants to know God's name. What is your name? And this is a great sign, because up to this point, God was anonymous, like every other god and idol that was being worshipped. But when Jacob asked for God's name, it means that their relationship has changed. They have a relationship. And for you and I, how important it is for us how important prayer is. In our times of struggle, we stop using our fists, we stop using our feet, and we stop using our wits, and we turn to God. And we declare our relationship with God every time we pray in Jesus' name. When we confess that he, Son of God, is the real and powerful, and his Father is the creator of heaven and earth. He knows us and our every needs. So God sees the difference in Jacob and the change in the relationship, so he renames Jacob. So God gives Jacob a new name because of his change of heart and change of character. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Name change. When somebody calls you a little something different, it means that the name change is a relationship change. I met my wife at church. When we just met, I say, hi, my name is Dick Lee. And she says, oh, my name is Carolyn. and things like that. At that point in time in our relationship, since we just met, I do not call her honey. I do not call her darling. Okay? These are things that I call my wife now. Okay? 20, 25 years later, I can call her that. Why can't I do that? It's because our relationship has changed. Okay? I call her something different now. And I think for some of you who are the younger ones, your parents have special names for you, okay? Because it's about something that you did when you were younger or something like that, or, you know, they'll have these special names. And here, God gives Jacob a special name because he knows that, wow, their relationship is different. They're so much closer now. He calls him Israel, the one who wrestles with God. And so, I'm going to close, and to close with this question for you. It's going to sound like a real weird question. God gives Jacob a new name. He's Israel. You're all members here or attending here at Katy. I assume that you are growing in Christ. What is God's name for you? What is God's special name for you? It took a while for me to learn what my special name is. God saw something in me. He challenged me. He wrestled with me. I wrestled with him. That time when I shared with you my worst week ever, when child is born, tired, wife in the hospital, I quit my job. It's big wrestling. At that point in time, God opened new doors. When I stopped wrestling with God, I knew that he was embracing me and opening doors for me. That very week, later on that week, I was asked by a missions organization to go on the mission field. I had a new name. It wasn't Dick Lee Youth Minister. It became Dick Lee Missionary for Jesus Christ. And for the next 7 to 8 years, my wife and I spent our time in Europe sharing the gospel. That was what God called me and what he called me to. And now, I'm here in Houston, and I'm a pastor. That's another name that I have. This isn't a name that my congregation gives to me, though they call me that. It's a name that God has given me. And so for you, as you're growing in Jesus Christ, I want you to learn your name. I want you to learn what God calls you about, what he remembers about you, what you can know that the gifts and the talents that he recognizes in you, so that you can hear your name called. And also, when you know your name, you also know what you're supposed to be in the body of Christ. Do you know your name? We know our God's name, Jesus Christ. Let's call on him now. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you. I want to thank you for this opportunity, for our sister churches to share and to encourage each other. I pray, Lord God, for us as we look at the life of Jacob, that we're challenged to put aside our fists, put aside feet, if we're trying to run away from you, put aside our wits and embrace you, Lord God. I pray for those who are wrestling right now. I ask that they submit themselves to God, to follow him.